It's time for After the Whistle Sports with your hosts, Presley, Lucas, and Brandon, providing you all the latest scores and sports news. Now it's time for After the Whistle.
Good afternoon. Welcome into the program. I'm your host, Brandon Ork, along with Shaitan Presley. We've got Matthew running the board for us today. Guys, a lot's happened. The Final Four is set. Had some great games over the weekend to get to where we are in the Final Four. South Carolina knocks off Florida to get to their first Final Four. Gonzaga handles Xavier with ease to get to their first Final Four as well. Oregon beats Kansas by 14 points to get to their first Final Four since 1939. And then North Carolina beats Kentucky at the end of the game to advance to their second Final Four in 2 years.
I feel as if this year's NCAA tournament has been quite odd. Number 7 seed, South Carolina, making to the Final Four. I just feel like Oregon wasn't really everyone's favorite to make it to the Final Four, but they have the talent to do so. I personally had the Kansas Jayhawks going all the way, but I guess they got handedly by Oregon. So,
yeah, actually, in my bracket that I made, I picked UNC, Oregon, and Gonzaga, all three, to make it to the Final Four. Only team that messed me up was Duke, who lost to South Carolina. That UNC and Kentucky game was very exciting to watch. I watched the whole game. Luke May, when he hit that shot at the end, I just jumped right off my couch, jumping up and down, screaming. It's really fun to watch. At the beginning of the tournament, everybody was kind of sleeping on Oregon just because their best player had gotten hurt, one of their best defenders. So I still had faith in Oregon. I thought that they would pull it out because I knew that they had enough athleticism and speed to pull it off.
Yeah, I think that's what scared a lot of people away from Oregon and why they're kind of a surprise team. Like you said, one of their players got hurt, their big man down low, got hurt right during the conference tournament and would miss the NCAA. But as we've seen, it's not affected them at all, and they're going to the Final Four to face North Carolina. And then on the other side of the bracket, you have South Carolina and Gonzaga going at it. Two teams, like I said before, that have never been to the Final Four until this year. You got a great coaching matchup with Frank Martin and his Gamecocks, and then Mark Few with his Gonzaga team. You know, I think that's really going to be a good game. What we're going to see is, does South Carolina have anything left? Are they out of juice? Or are they going to be able to keep going? So, what are your thoughts on the game between South Carolina and Gonzaga?
I think it's going to be a really hard fought game between the two, both really scrappy on defense. I think it's going to be kind of a fast paced game due to how South Carolina's been playing the past few games with the full court passes like we've seen from them, and they're just going to be pulling everything out of the book. But I like the Zags in this one. Coach Mark Few over there, he's done really well at that program since. He's been there since like 99, I think. It was really good to watch him finally get over the hump and make it to the Final Four.
I feel like it's really this game going to be win or loss in the post. I say that because I've seen that South Carolina post has been really scrappy and getting on the offense and defensive boards. But I feel like Gonzaga and what's his name? No, that big man with the beard from
Gonzaga.
Yeah, I feel like he's just a really solid fundamental post player. So I feel like that's where the game is going to be win or loss.
Yeah, and then on the other side you have North Carolina and Oregon, two teams that like I think that's going to be the better game. I may be wrong, and I think North Carolina is going to get it done in that one. I think they just got too much. I think that their size is going to get to Oregon in that game. I think the Heels are going to. I don't think it's going to be easy, but I think they will make it to the title game.
Yeah, Kennedy Meeks is just a beast. I feel like he's unstoppable down there. I mean, he might be a little big, but I just feel like once he gets his hands on the ball, can't nobody stop him.
Yeah, I agree. I really like Joel Berry II. Really good point guard out there. You also have Nate Britt out there as well.
Justin Jackson,
Isaiah Hicks. I mean, they're just stacked from top to bottom. A lot of experience out there. I think that if Oregon does try to play a fast-paced game, I don't think they're going to be able to keep up with North Carolina. They've just got too many legs and too many players to put in that game. Big shots, big shooters from North Carolina, and Luke May, and like we said, Justin Jackson, that's another one. I just think that Oregon's not going to be able to keep up, and especially in the post game.
Karnowski was the guy that you were talking about for Gonzaga.
Yeah, he looks so, like he's about 45 years old.
Yeah, he does have a big beard. So from what I'm gathering, I think we all have North Carolina and Gonzaga in the championship game.
Yes, but I don't know. It just matters what South Carolina does. I mean, they've really been playing really good in the tournament. I feel like it ain't going to run out yet.
I feel like if they can get on a few runs here and there, like they did against Florida towards the end of the game when they got on that big run, I think it's going to be really hard for the Zags to beat them. But I've got the Zags pulling this one out.
We will find out on Saturday. Those games will take place, and then the title game will be a week from today. Also, since the last time we talked, the United States has won the World Baseball Classic. Excuse me, Presley, I'll let you talk about that.
Yeah, Marcus Stroman had a heck of a pitching performance against Team Puerto Rico and those big bats that they had, and Francisco Lindor, Carlos Correa, Javier Baez, and so on. He pitched 6 innings of work with 3 strikeouts, 1 hit, and 1 walk. He came in for the 7th inning to pitch against Angel Pagan, and he led off the inning with a double, and then they pulled him after that. But the U.S.'s pitching was just too much for him. Sam Dyson came in. He got 2 strikeouts in an inning. Pat Neshek came in for 1 inning, and then David Robertson closed it out. U.S. just had everything work in that game. Bats, pitching, defense. It was just great to see. A lot of ground balls Marcus Stroman got in the infield. That's really all that you can ask for in a pitcher is throw it low in the zone and get ground balls and some strikeouts. But it was really fun to watch. I feel like this is kind of going to make baseball a little bigger in America since we had won it finally this year. Adam Jones, Ian Kinsler, Christian Yelich, Nolan Arenado, Eric Hosmer, they all did really well for the U.S. I feel like they're going to bring baseball back and kind of make it bigger and show that America does care about baseball and get these kids in America to pursue that.
Yeah, because I sure don't know the first thing about baseball. So, I mean, I might even start watching it.
Yeah, it was a big win. First time that the U.S. Had won the World Baseball Classic. And I think, to me anyway, the moment that pretty much captured what the whole tournament was and really sealed it for the U.S. was when Adam Jones made the leaping catch in the championship game. He robbed his teammate.
Manny Machado.
Yeah, and pretty much saved the game for the U.S. For them to win the World Baseball Classic Championship. So, and sticking with baseball, opening day is a week from today. I'm sure there'll be some games that Sunday night. They usually do that.
Yeah, I know a good game to watch will probably be the Boston Red Sox and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Not really sure who's going to start for the Red Sox yet. Could be Chris Sale, could be Rick Porcello, or David Price. But then you got the Pittsburgh Pirates over there with Garrett Cole and some others. Josh Harrison, who was also on Team USA. Going to be a really fun game to watch.
Yeah, those games on Sunday, that'll be the first games of the baseball season. Starts out at 1 o'clock. You have the Yankees and the Rays. And then later in the afternoon, you have the Giants taking on the Diamondbacks. And then the nightcap is going to be the Cubs versus the Cardinals. All those on the ESPN networks. So those 3 games will be on Sunday. Everybody else will play on Monday. So baseball is right around the corner. I think we've talked about this before, but who's your favorite to win it right now?
My favorite to win it right now, I'm probably going to have to go with the Red Sox. That pitching staff is just too deep. Like I said before, Chris Sale, Rick Porcello, the former AL Cy Young Award winner just this past year, and David Price, as long as they can stay healthy, I think that they can pull it out. And you've got some guys on the back end of that bullpen who can come in and throw well too, and Craig Kimbrell and some others. And they've got bats as well, I mean, and young bats, and Mookie Betts, Andrew Benintendi, he's finally going to be make his full season debut this year, and Jackie Bradley Jr. I mean, you've got the 3, well, now the 4 killer bees out there, and Benintendi, Betts, Bogarts, and Bradley. And you still got that veteran presence of Dustin Pedroia out there that will help out a lot. And even though they lost Big Poppy, you still gained Mitch Moreland, and Pablo Sandoval is back and healthy, and Hanley Ramirez is the DH.
Yeah, I would also in the American League, that's who I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with the Red Sox. They seem to be a team that everybody's taken. But in the National League, I'll also go with everybody else. Hard to go against the Cubs after what they did a year ago. Basically, that whole team's back. It's going to come down to can they live up to expectations? Are they going to be able to? Is the pressure going to be on them to repeat again? Are they going to be able to do that? So I'm going to go with the Cubs and the Red Sox. And when it comes down to those two, I would have to go with the Cubs just because they've been there, they have experience. But we will see how that goes. We'll shift our attention back to basketball on the professional side here. Less than 10 games to go in the regular season. The race in the East is tight. With the Celtics won yesterday, and they are now tied for first place with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the Cavs play the Spurs tonight, so with a loss, the Celtics would move half a game ahead. They'd be half a game up on the Cavs for first place.
I feel like Isaiah Thomas is just playing phenomenal basketball right now. His team is playing tough and hard. Marcus Smart in there crashing the boards I seen last night. I just feel like as long as they keep playing hard and he keeps on having 30, 40-point nights, I feel like they will keep the lead.
Yeah. Also can't forget about Washington coming up the rear as well in third place behind Boston and Cleveland. Got really outstanding playmakers in Bradley Beal and John Wall.
Yeah, the Wizards have been good. Kind of slacked off recently, not been as hot as they were. 2.5 games back of the Cavs and Celtics are the Wizards, and then the Raptors 3.5 back of the Cavs and Celtics as well. So those four teams are going to be the teams to watch in the East, I think. I don't think anybody else really has an outside shot. In the West, of course, you have the Warriors. The Spurs, two and a half games behind them, and the Rockets are 8 games back of the Warriors. Any chance that the Spurs could make a push this late in the season, maybe get that one spot?
I mean, Kawhi Leonard is a phenomenal player and all, but I just feel like they don't have the playmakers that everybody else does. But that and Andre Iguodala has been playing phenomenal basketball as well, so I feel like as long as he keep producing and filling that void for KD, I feel like we should be okay.
I don't know. I think that they could, but it's all going to depend on how they approach these next few games. And if Golden State gets kind of cold like they did earlier in the year where they had that little streak where they lost some games without KD, but now that they've got him back, they're kind of all right. But, I mean, you never know in the NBA. I think Golden State could slip up maybe, but I don't really see them doing that until the playoffs.
I got something to say about James Harden and Russell Westbrook. They're both chasing history right now, chasing Oscar Robertson's records, actually. James Harden has been averaging like 20 and 10 for like 20 games straight. And I think, I don't know what the record is, but they're both chasing history and trying to beat them records. And over half the season, he's been averaging 20 and 10. And Russell Westbrook has had more than half, exactly half of his games have been triple double. So.
Yeah,
see how that falls.
Man, yeah. Westbrook was balling. 39 points, 11 rebounds, and 13 assists. That game was ridiculous to watch. Also, James Harden, I mean, he was balling too. He had 22 points in 36 minutes, and he had 12 assists and 5 rebounds. I mean, they were just going at it back and forth last night.
Yeah, Shaitan, I believe what you were talking about is chasing Oscar Roberts, trying to be the first player since him to average a triple-double throughout the season. Right now, Westbrook is doing that. He's averaging 31 points a game, 10.5 rebounds per game, and just under 10.5 assists per game. Harden has 29.5 points per game, 8 rebounds, and 11 assists per game. So Harden's a little short of the triple-double, but still both of them having tremendous seasons. A lot of people trying to make a push for Harden to be MVP. Do you think it's even close for the MVP, or do you think Westbrook is running away with it? Do you think Harden has a chance, LeBron?
I mean, I think it's close due to Harden's team being a better ranked in third in the West versus Westbrook and the Thunder at six. But I just think if you average a triple-double in a season, you have to be the MVP. I mean, there's, like we said, there's only one other player to do that, and that was Oscar Robertson in 1961-62.
But also, it's only one other player besides James Harden. Is Oscar Robertson to average 20 points and 10 assists in a season? So, I mean, they're both chasing records. I mean, it's different records. But
Westbrook is averaging 31.3 points, though.
I mean, I understand that, but he's been averaging
and a triple-double.
He's averaged this for over – he's had these stats over half the season. You know, Westbrook had – I think he has like 45 or something like that, and like James Harden has like 50-some of his 60-something games, 40-some of his 60-something games has been 20 and 10. So, I mean, I feel like – I mean
– yeah, I would have to go with Westbrook just because he's done it all year long.
Yeah.
Over – like you said, over half his games he's had a triple-double. And the name of the award is Most Valuable Player. I think if you take – I mean, I'm sure if you take Harden off the Rockets, they're not going to be the third seed in the West without a question. They're not going to be as good. But if you take Russell Westbrook off the Thunder, I mean, they are the sixth seed in the West. You take him off the Thunder, they are down around where the Lakers and the Suns are. I mean, they would be –
at the bottom. Yeah. Near the bottom, if not at the bottom.
Yeah, they would be a terrible basketball team. So that's where I'm giving the edge to Westbrook.
Yeah, I agree. I think Westbrook is more important to his team than James Harden is to the Rockets. Not saying that the Rockets, I mean, they wouldn't really be all that good either if they didn't have him, but they still have the firepower and star potential or players to still be able to be in the playoffs. I think that Westbrook has pretty much carried the Thunder into the playoffs.
It's hard to look over that triple-double.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us this week on After the Whistle. Be sure to join us here next week on WKCS.
That's it for After the Whistle Sport. Tune in next week for more updates.